Hello and welcome to The Hearing. I'm John.
And from Chicago's North Side, I am Scotto.
And before we get to this week's album, just want to quickly plug a little fun project that I'm doing on my YouTube channel. It's called Dice Music. Just about daily, I'm rolling dice to determine a key, a D12 to determine a key, A through G sharp, a D4 for tonality, odds major, evens minor, and then a D8 to pick four chords in that key, and then I'm composing a short piece of music, 15 to 30 seconds, using those chords, trying to, you know, string them together melodically. It's been pretty fun.
Oh, I thought you were just doing these nursery rhymes with dirty endings.
No. Huh.
Okay.
I don't get the joke.
Dice.
Oh, God, no. But it's been interesting. It's been a fun little thing. Just very quick, the whole playlist, 12 up to, no, 11 today, I think. And it's, you know, a few minutes. Anyway, on to this week's album, which is from 1982, Asia by Asia, their debut album. Asia are an English, and I did say are, they are still together, with some different people, are English progressive rock supergroup formed in London in 1981 by former members of Yes, King Crimson, and Emerson, Lake & Palmer. The band's self-titled debut studio album was not popular with critics. I wrote this before actually listening to it. But it was a commercial success, spending 9 weeks at the top of the Billboard album charts. In reference to the album's pop-oriented sound, guitarist Steve House noted, the production was a bit Journey-esque. That was down to Mike Stone, who co-produced Escape, which is a huge album for Journey. But Heat of the Moment was the last song we recorded for the Asia album.
Wow, okay. Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe, out of all these guys and the bands they're in, this is like the biggest commercial success they had. I mean, like, even if you combine all the stuff they've done. Yeah.
He went on to say that by then we'd already done stuff like Time Again and Wildest Dreams, which were very progressive. Bassist and vocalist John Wetton commented, people said, no, that's not going to work. It's all keyboards now. It's all synthesizers. I think Flock of Seagulls was number one. Actually, what we did was make a sound that blew synthesizers out of the water. Everyone said, oh, no, 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 a prog guitar band ain't going to work. But it did. The album was released on March 8th, 1982 by Geffen Records, produced by the aforementioned Mike Stone, and features John Wetton on lead vocals and bass guitar, Jeff Downs on keyboards and vocals, Steve Howe on guitars and vocals, and Carl Palmer on drums and percussion. Reminder, I don't edit any songs into our reviews for copyright reasons, but on our blog at johnscotto.com, you'll find links to Asia on Spotify and YouTube so you can follow along if you'd like.
The irony of that stuff that they were saying, I think the weakest link on this album, or at least one of them, is the keyboards.
I would say the vocals, but we'll get to that. There's a lot of weak links. And I want to note that, you know, Howe was trying to blame the producer. The producer didn't write a note.
Yeah.
It's all written by the band members.
Right.
Track one, Heat of the Moment. The opening riff is iconic.
There's no intro. I mean, it just goes right into it. You know, there's just like two notes or three notes.
It's like three or four chords.
Yeah.
Love how massive that guitar sound is. The bottom falls out a bit in the chorus when he plays that kind of weedy single note bit.
Oh, I think that the chorus is definitely, I think, the most interesting part of this. It's the verses where they're playing like leader of the pack, pretty much.
A little bit. I just love that giant guitar.
And then, oh, yeah, that's good.
Sonically, it gets a little thin in the chorus.
It's weird. And I think that's kind of an interesting... It's probably one of the rare interesting parts of the album is that strange guitar he's playing during the chorus.
The piano in the second verse is a nice touch. That synth section in the instrumental is really dated.
Man, I think it was dated even when they used it in 1982.
In general, the lyrics on this album were just nonsense.
I tried to ignore them as much as possible. I just was like, I know if I look up the lyrics, it's going to be very Power of the Night.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I tried looking up one of the lyrics, and they had lyrics to a completely different song, so I didn't even understand what happened.
And again, pointing out the producer did not write any of it.
Right.
So I mentioned before we started recording that I tried not to message you this time before recording, like I did the last couple of times. What I was going to say was that I've never heard an album that so desperately needed to be instrumental.
Why? You know, it's the same issue with Toy Matinee. If you are a prog band and lyrics aren't exactly your strongest thing, you only need to write, like, what, 3 or 4 singles, and then the rest can be whatever the fuck you want it to be.
But the difference is, Kevin Gilbert from Toy Matinee is a damn good singer.
Sure.
Even though the lyrics may be not great on that album, I liked his performance. John Wetton's vocals on this are fucking clumsy as hell.
Anything to give it character, though, was good for me. I mean, the lyrics, on the other hand, holy fuck. But their vocals, the performance, I didn't have that much of a problem with. Although every chorus was the same on this album all the way through.
Yeah.
Every chorus was harmonized, you know, and it was, and the lyrics is just some phrase just repeated over and over again.
Yeah.
Like, Heat of the Moment is, you know, it's okay. It's just kind of weird that they, you know, keep Palmer, like, on a leash, you know, as
until,
much as possible.
Like, one song he kind of goes off on.
Yeah.
The ending solo is really rambly, especially for Steve Howe. Steve Howe is one of the greatest guitarists who has ever lived. He has a very unique style.
Howe really carries this song on his back, though. This is all Howe, this song.
I feel like this album, he never really had a chance, except for maybe one or two solos, to really be interesting.
Yeah.
Everybody except Downs. Downs is the only one who really showed off. And my last note on Heat of the Moment, sounds like a cash grab.
And I thought Downs shouldn't have shown off. or what he did show off wasn't exactly all that impressive.
Yeah. Track 2, with the exception to that, only time will tell, that opening synth riff is iconic.
Oh man, it's bad though.
I still kind of love it. Love the guitar counterpoint that comes in.
My notes say, it's like a Make-A-Wish kid got to play keyboards with an all-star band.
I just get annoyed when Wetton starts singing.
And this song, structurally, is a disaster. There's, you know, that outro track that they just kind of shoehorn into the middle that you're just like, wait, what? That dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. It's like, wait, what is that doing here?
Yeah, that instrumental is a little weird. I do like the harmonies, although, yeah, they do follow that pattern.
Every song was just, here's the phrase, we're going to harmonize this phrase, and then repeat it a few times,
but
and stick some nonsense in it.
Wetton's voice, unlike a slow, big Crimson song, is fine. On 80s pop, it's just a bull in a china shop. It's too big and clumsy. He's not agile enough to pull off this kind of music.
I think that's what made this work, though. I think that's why this was all so commercially successful, was that, you know, voice, you know, and having, like, Palmer and Howe. It's like taking a country ride with, like, a monster truck or something. It's like, what the fuck is this doing here?
That fade out at the end always struck me as odd because it fades in the middle of a verse.
Yeah. I thought there was something wrong with my copy, actually. I completely forgot that that's how it ends.
It cracks me up now. It's like the engineer was just tired of hearing them.
And why does it come back to that verse? Why doesn't it just end with a dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun, you know? That it should be a cold ending because almost every song is a fade-out.
But he just starts singing this verse, and I don't think it's a repeat of a previous verse.
No. No, it's not. It's kind of how things end with this relationship.
And it just fades out. I can see the engineer just rolling his eyes like, yeah, I'm done with this.
Or they're sitting in the studio and thinking, you know, we don't really need to go into this any further, do we?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just start a fade out here. And it's like he's singing like new lyrics.
Track 3, Soul Survivor, finally done with the singles. neither of us took the coward's way out. I wasn't surprised by that.
No. It was easy. It wasn't really a coward's way. It was just kind of like, no.
Nice dramatic opening for this one. I like the odd meter groove. Finally getting a little bit proggy.
Yeah, I was almost hoping it was instrumental, but it was like, alas.
like the ascending lead guitar. That high note in the verse is just embarrassing and painful. How badly he misses it.
Yeah, this is what I was like, oh man, I wonder if I should look up the lyrics to this. And then I convinced myself not to.
80s prog made some very questionable choices about vocalists. Now, in Wenton's case, he's also a hell of a bass player, so it was fair.
Yeah.
If you go back, and speaking of Steve Howe, if you go back to GTR, yeah. Max Bacon's vocals are hideous. Like, they were fine. We liked them at the time, but they were horrible in hindsight.
I didn't really have a problem with his voice. Or, you know, even Wenton's voice here, I really didn't have a problem with on this one. Mm. It's just, you know, in fact, this one, I think, the particular song, it kind of stands out the most. I wouldn't say this is the strongest, but I'd say this is probably the second strongest on the album.
The chorus harmonies are good, but that melody is just kind of clunky. And to me, that describes the album as a whole. It's just clunky.
It is.
It's like they were trying to write pop, but did it badly.
They almost, I don't know, there's like a hair metal vibe to the whole thing, really. Even though this is 80, like once I was like, wait a minute, this is 82. And it felt like they were way ahead of the whole hair metal, you know?
Yeah. Okay. This was kind of riding on some new wave stuff. Although a lot of the new wave stuff it did was a little after, was like 84-ish.
Oh yeah. But you know, the decision to do guitar driven, and man, how much better would it have been if they didn't have keyboards on this?
I liked the arrangement and the chaos at the beginning of the instrumental section. Hated the kick roll in the fade. Just generally hate kick rolls. This album taught me that if you take prog legends and pair them with Journey's producer, it sounds like Styx.
Oh, yeah.
This sounds like Styx.
There's a lot of Boston or Styx on this, and Styx were huge at this point, you know.
And I like a lot of Styx stuff. This reminds me a lot of like Grand Illusion era.
Well, think about it. This is the same year that Mr. Roboto
came out. Okay, I thought it was a year. That was a year or two after, but okay, close enough.
It's definitely around that same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, within a year or two.
So before that, you know, you have, you know, I'm trying to remember the Alien spaceship album that was really big.
Styx or Boston?
Styx.
Styx. I don't remember.
It might have been Come Sail Away.
Oh yeah, that had an alien theme. But there's a lot in here that is very Styx. And moving on to track 4, One Step Closer, there's also a lot that was borrowed by Neil Morse from Spock's Beard.
This
sounds like a Spock's Beard song.
This one is just weird, and not in a good way. I mean,
it's kind of a bouncy, slightly country-ish sort of thing. I thought it was a nice change of pace. It's got a good groove.
It was like Yes trying to do a Talking Heads song almost.
Interesting.
Like the way he was singing was a very David Byrne or Bowie kind of thing he was going with, but it was like, what are you doing?
I see. I didn't get any of that. I got a slight nod to like folky country stuff, but
well, you know, he was singing like this
there with their instrumentation, which didn't work. Like the harmonies, like the chorus melody. Whiten and Howe's voices shouldn't go together, but they do. Because they, you know, sing harmony on the verses.
Yeah.
The guitar solo is nice. Though Howe should have given us better than nice.
Ah, man. Really, Howe's playing. It is, you know, kind of the price of admission. And Palmer with him is just enjoyable if you could just tune everything else out.
I don't really hear much from Palmer, except for like one spot where he goes off.
It was kind of a shame. Why bother having Palmer if you're just like, no, don't play now. Just, you know, play this stupid, you know, trite, you know, rhythm here.
I get the impression they all got together because, you know, they were between gigs.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, let's make an album. And then decided, okay, let's go pop. Let's try to have a hit. Let's bring in Journey's producer. And let's try to be... And this note will come back later. Rush did the same thing in the 80s.
Yeah.
But when Rush did it, you get Power Window, or Moving Pictures. Power Window is also a great album. And again, very 80s. These guys do it. Considerably more pedigree than the guys from Rush at this point.
Yeah.
Because they're all older. And they fail miserably. You know, Rush goes from this big bombastic 70s prog thing to a fairly slick 80s pop prog band and nails it for the most part. You could take issue with the one after Power Windows. Hold Your Fire is really questionable. But the rest was great. These guys, what the fuck? Saga, also, great kind of new wavy prog band.
I have not heard Saga in a very long time, but I would like to revisit that soon.
I highly recommend it, because they try to do basically this, but much better.
Yeah.
Track 5, Time Again. This is my pick for favorite. It's also the only track written by the entire band.
Yeah, this is definitely my pick for strongest. They could have just riffed on this for a while and had a really cool instrumental here.
I like the nice sinister opening riff, some good harmonies, good galloping groove, nice syncopation. The verse melody reminds me a bit of Tull.
Yeah, I could see that.
Nice harmonies in the chorus. I like the little atonal bits after the chorus. Great guitar solo. That big electronic drum hit in the last verse was a bit much.
That's what Popper does, though. But it was just a bit much.
But it was so clearly electronic. That was the part that bugged me. If it was a big acoustic snare, I'd have been there for it. But
it was a good way to end the side. Probably should have ended the album.
Yeah. Track 6, Wildest Dreams. Not a Moody Blues cover, though.
This was before that.
Was it before that? I wasn't sure.
And this, you couldn't ignore the lyrics on this, because the lyrics are just so outrageous and over the top.
I like the little lead bass in the first verse, good groove in the chorus. The tonality on the title line is interesting.
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
Like the imagery they're talking, you know, they have, doesn't line up with the message, you know? Wildest Dream connotes something good that you're talking about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Something really that it's better than you can imagine.
The whole point is he's talking about all the ills of the world and saying, I couldn't have imagined all of this in my wildest dreams.
And he's talking about this, you know, Civil War, Holocaust going on around the world. And it, you know, if it's something worse than your wildest dreams, but yet you've dreamt this up, literally doesn't make any sense.
And worst nightmare or nightmares?
Yes.
Same number of syllables. That just occurred to me.
Yes. I mean, and if he's just singing about World War II, then it's something that's happened and it's not really beyond your imagination.
Was it World War II? Okay.
I don't know. I'm assuming it's not, though, after listening a couple times. He's talking about this theoretical apocalypse happening where everything falls to dictatorships and they euthanize any dissidents. And then the whole fly away line, like, what the fuck? Like, none of it. I mean, I was like, man, I wish I could have ignored the lyrics
further. To be fair, Prague is not known for lyrical prowess.
Some bands are better than others, though.
I'm a Rush fan. You're a Peter Gabriel fan. We're spoiled.
I mean, even, you know, I thought about Anderson's lyrics and Yes and how everybody, you know, takes the piss out of them. But at least, you know, they're weird and interesting.
Yeah.
This is just like some nimbo wrote this thing trying to be, you know, it was kind of like when Phil Collins tried to write something serious and political at the end of the 80s. And it was kind of like a yikes.
Yeah. I have periodically rolled my eyes at John Anderson's lyrics. I've never been in pain.
Right.
Because he talks about some weird shit.
Yeah.
But he's eloquent.
Right. And you know, he truly believes it or whatever he's talking about. And but you get the feeling he is at least knowledgeable in what he's talking about. This is a kid who wrote a report on something that didn't read the book.
And to be fair, sometimes he just phrases it weird. Roundabout is literally about the roundabouts they were passing going through Scotland, or going through in Scotland.
Oh, man.
And comparing that to a relationship.
You know how many roundabouts I fucking had to drive through over this last vacation? Michigan and the part of Ontario, they just all roundabouts.
Leave It is about touring. It took me decades to figure that out. So, you know, Anderson has interesting ways of phrasing things that are kind of opaque, but that makes it interesting. This is just clumsy and clunky and just,
Why not bring the dude in from Crimson? I can't remember his
Michael
name.
Sinfeld.
Yeah, bring him in to write a song. I know it's money and stuff, but to have a good song, it's worth the investment. And just do some instrumentals, you know? That was the thing with Genesis. They had the pop songs, and it's like, okay, now we can do whatever we want. We'll do something prog to try to make the old fans happy, at least, and it'll be cool.
Greg Lake wasn't doing much at this point. Couldn't they have just brought him in instead of Wetton?
It is kind of weird that they didn't bring Lake in from the beginning. I mean, they had to bring him in later because I understand there were issues.
Issues, yeah. Billy Sherwood's with them now because Button's no longer with us. But quickly back to Wildest Dreams. I did like the guitar in verse 2 and the slowdown in the second chorus. The solo is very sticks, but I thought the ending was interesting. Although, and I will not defend Dennis DeYoung as a songwriter, decent singer, hell of a keyboard player.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. But I mean, he's
I seem to say DeYoung is better than Downs.
He's a great vocalist, but I never thought of him as a keyboard player.
No, he listened to some of their proggier stuff. The keyboard solo.
So he's the guy that
insane.
Plays that sailing away keyboard thing at the beginning.
Any keyboards in a Styx song when he was with the band are him. He was the keyboard player.
That is impressive. I did not know that.
Hell of a keyboard player. Good singer. I won't defend him as a songwriter.
Oh, right. Of course not.
But I think he's a far better keyboard player than Downs. So I think saying the solo sound sticks is a bit of a compliment to Downs.
This album reminded me of Fleetwood Mac and some of those songs. You know, just because you're a good musician doesn't mean you're a good songwriter.
Right. Yeah, that's the lesson here, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Track 7, Without You, like the opening keyboard part, nice vocal melody. I like the dramatic increase in dynamics. Nice harmonies at the end of the chorus. I like the harmonies on the bridge. I think Toto ripped them off for Stranger in Town.
Stranger in Town?
By Toto. One of their kind of late 80s songs.
Oh, really?
One of the few Toto songs I like.
Huh, I don't remember that one.
About a guy who shows up, some people think he's Jesus, some people think he's Jack the Ripper.
Really?
Very 80s programmed, you know, synthetic, but some interesting guitar parts, you know, worth checking out.
It's from 84.
Okay. I thought it was later than that.
Which is only a couple of years after this.
They ripped the harmonies off from
I had no idea. It's an album I'm not even familiar with. Like, it's right after they did Thriller with Michael Jackson.
It was all over the radio in 84. Like the dramatic guitar solo, Back to Without You. Like the acoustics in the last verse and that big dramatic ending.
But yeah, it's that nice flourish in the middle. But other than that, this is Chicago, or I should say Peter Cetera.
Have you picked the weakest yet?
I think I'm going with this one.
The next one?
Without You.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going with the next one. Track 8, Cutting It Fine. I can't believe I had to listen to this one more than once. I did my 3 listens again. Did a slightly different order. I did my kind of mid-attention listen while gaming first, and then my, you know, barely paying attention to it housework listen earlier today, and then later my full attention. Usually there's a difference between the 3 listens. You know, some are better than others.
Same place. I went on a journey. I despise this in the first listen. The second listen, the casual listen, I was like, oh, this isn't that bad. And then the third listen, well, I think I'm kind of done with this.
First listen while gaming, kind of mid-attention, I was, no, this is bad.
This is not meant to be listened to multiple times, no. Which is ironic.
I figured maybe a casual listen would be better. Casual listen is no better for me. It was still bad.
I think a casual listen is the only really way to go with this. Because
it's a prog album. Maybe a deep listen will be better. No, deep listen was worse.
This is not really a prog album. This is much closer to hair metal than prog.
This is a prog band trying to make a pop album.
Yeah.
But like I said, this one was just painful to have to listen to 3 times. I do like the opening acoustic riff. It's got a nice bass tone. I liked how sort of playing the riff up the octaves.
It's the keys again. The keyboards are just... And, yeah.
But then the vocal comes in and it just ruins it for me.
And this one, like having Palmer on it, just sounds the most ridiculous because the song itself is so bland. But you've got Palmer just like going nuts back there, low in the mix, but he's there. And it's like, well, why'd you even do this? And then it goes into this weird, almost a reprisal of Heat of the Moment.
The lyrics are ridiculous and the vocal melody isn't much better.
Yeah.
The harmonies on the title line just take any intensity out of it, as does the Styx keyboard interlude. It's the musical equivalent of the rich guy in an 80s movie trying to be tough.
Like, what the hell does Cutting It Fine even mean?
Cutting it close, I think that might be the British version. Like, you're pushing your luck is basically the point he's trying to make. And he tries to come off as a tough guy. But I just picture him in, like, a school uniform.
Wouldn't it have been better if it was just a song about doing lines of coke and how fine you're cutting the lines.
And that line about the rich guy in the 80s movie trying to talk tough is kind of this entire album for me.
Or maybe it was. They were doing some coke and somebody was cutting the lines way too thin and someone be like, hey, you're kind of cutting it fine there. And then Wetton being like, oh.
Perhaps, yeah. I think coke explains a lot of this.
Someone write that down.
I will give it a little credit. There was a nice piano break. But then the synths date it horribly and the ending is just a rambling mess.
Yeah. If someone could do a mix of this without keyboards, this would be a marked better album.
No, it wouldn't. I mean, you could reduce it to just bass, drums, and guitar. Take out the vocals, too. It would be better, but not good. Track 9, finally, Here Comes the Feeling. Good bass tone. I like that bendy synth. I like the riff that comes in before the verse. Nice piano part. The vocal melody is just overwrought, as are the lyrics. Chorus kind of comes out of nowhere and is way too peppy.
And guess what? It's, you know, just the name of the song harmonized. repeated a few times.
It was nice hearing Palmer kind of go off a little bit in the second verse.
It had the most Boston feel to it, I think, of the album.
See, I for me, they turned it back to Styx for the keyboard solo. I thought the guitar solo was interesting. Not sure about that keyboard response. I did like that funky guitar toward the end.
Oh, what's the name of that Boston song? Taking My Time?
Okay, yeah. I'm not that familiar with Boston. Then I realized this is the Elvis Costello album all over again.
What? I mean, I can't. If they had done an hour and a half album or 70 minute album, that would have been horrendous.
But no, it was Elvis Costello with a string quartet. We both thought that was going to be great.
Yeah.
And there was one good song. And the rest of it was just annoying and boring. That's this. Same deal. At least I thought this was going to be interesting.
Well, I mean, I remembered the singles.
And I used to love them. But I think it's safe to say neither of us recommend it.
No, I mean, it's worth, like, if you like prog and hair metal, I would say it's worth checking out just to listen to How and Palmer on this. But, yeah, I keep thinking back to 40-Year-Old Virgin, where he's got the Asia poster on the wall, and they're kind of like, you feel embarrassed you have this.
I don't recommend it at all. Avoid. If you want poppy prog, check out some 80s Rush or Saga. Hell, even Styx.
Spock's beard, of course.
Well, they were decades later, but very, very influenced by this shit. All right, that's it. Thankfully for Asia. Until next time, when we'll be reviewing Summertime Dream by Gordon Lightfoot as a tribute. Always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are. Hello and welcome to Zombie Takeout. The wrong show. I almost said the wrong show twice there. First time I almost said the TV show.